Well, the theme of our service this morning is, the title of it, if you like, is called What is Really New? What is Really New? And this morning, just to start off with, I want to consider a portion of scripture that takes us back to a time when everything was exactly that, absolutely brand new. A little portion I want to look at is in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 27 and 31, and these have just popped up on your screen there. So it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And it said this: So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And verse 31 says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. As we look into the creation account in that chapter 1 in Genesis, we see that each day God pronounces that it was good. And on this last day, God places man and woman into this paradise earth that he had created. And he says that it is very good. And here, when we just look at these two verses, we have a picture, an image in our minds of absolute newness. There's nothing worn, there's nothing ruined, there's nothing broken, there's nothing polluted. It is absolutely brand new. These verses show us a time of perfection when everything was perfect. And this was God's intention, and it still is God's intention for mankind, that perfection will come back again to ourselves. The verses also give a picture of calmness. It gives a picture of peace, a picture of tranquility. And the whole image there, the image of God, is one of newness. It is really new. Well, our Bible reading this morning is, as you've probably noticed on the screen already, is from Ephesians chapter 4, and it's verses 17 through to 24. That's Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 17 to 24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The Bible speaks of things new in many of its books. There are various expressions in the Bible that we read that incorporate that word new. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. It talks about creating new heavens and a new earth. It talks of a new covenant, a new spirit, a new heart, and of course a new creation. And there are many more, and if you search through the Bible, you will find a lot more. But at the end of the Bible, which is really the closing chapters of God's word to us, where all matters come to fulfilment, it says this, and I'm just quoting from Revelation chapter 21 at verse 5. Verse 5 says this: He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And we're living at the moment, just in these days, through a period of the year where we experience new things. It's Christmas. And at Christmas time, we have new gifts. We have new clothes. We have new toys. Well, the children have new toys. And of course, there is a new year, all of which we celebrate, which is great. And I just want to tell you a story about a Christmas gift. And the Christmas gift is an Apple iPad. And after buying this iPad, I thought it would be a good thing and quite a sensible thing to buy one of these protection covers that they sit in. And easy, no problem at all. No, it wasn't going to be like that. See, so as I searched online for iPad 2021 ninth generation 10.2 inch screen, I discovered, John's laughing, I discovered that some were compatible with my iPad, but most weren't. And I'd put that criteria for this product into the computer. And after much searching, and really by accident, I discovered that it all depended on the model number. Now, does anyone know where to find the model number? Well, I'll tell you where the model number isn't. It's not in the box. It doesn't say model number such and such in the box at all. And quite by accident, I discovered that the elusive model number was inscribed in minuscule letters on the back of the iPad, right underneath the Apple logo. You know the Apple logo with the apple with the bit bitten out of it? Well, underneath it was some writing. And when you look at it, it looked just like a scratch on the surface of the back of the iPad. But when I looked more closely, with the aid of a magnifying glass, I have to say, I found the letters about the same size as if you were writing the Lord's Prayer on the back of a postage stamp and more besides. And there it was, model number A2602. But by then, that lovely, shiny, new present had become a sense of an intense source of frustration to me, and I was getting a little bit fed up with it, to be perfectly honest. And I sort of, it went through my mind that here I was just trying to buy something very simple and very sensible, and I was being led a merry old dance by the Apple Corporation. They weren't allowing me to find out this model number very easily. And I got to thinking about these other big corporations that we have in the world. And you think of Amazon, and you think of Facebook, and you think of Google. Microsoft is another one. And they all seek to dominate the whole world in their various fields. And they do quite a good job of it, generally speaking. But the glossy image from these so-called rulers of the world, if you will, soon fades, especially when you've had hassle like I had, just looking for a model number. But what about the ruler of the world we see in Revelation chapter 21 at verse 5? Now, in this picture, we see the satanic corporation that sought to dominate the whole world of mankind is defeated forever. It's now non-existent and defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. And that's a great picture. But sometimes pictures like this can also be a source of frustration to us. And it can actually cause us to doubt the reality of such an image. Is it true? Says a little niggle in the back of our minds. Now, we have just celebrated the first coming of Jesus, and now we wait, sometimes impatiently and sometimes very impatiently, for his second coming. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jehovah's Witnesses prophesied that 1914 was going to be the year of the end, and probably the time of the return of Christ. But they made a fundamental mistake in this prophecy. They actually ignored Jesus. And that was the mistake that they made. Because Jesus clearly said, and is recorded here in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 13 at verse 32, he says this: concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now then, if their prophetic thoughts had been true, then none of us would be here wanting to praise God and able to praise God. And I want you to think about that as well. You're here of your own will, your own free will, because you want to praise God. And you have the ability to do so as well. And those two elements combined bring a person to looking to God, to looking towards Jesus. I want you to think about this as well. If God were guided by man's impatience, by man's frustration, then the Bible, at the most, would be that bit in Genesis, there right at the beginning, and the last bit of Revelation. And God would never have had the chance, or never be able, to demonstrate that his rulership over his creation is guided by love. Because love wouldn't have had a chance to appear. So let us remember then that the Bible is the complete and entire Word of God, and nothing in it is irrelevant. All of it demonstrates God's love for us. And the big bit in the middle, that between the beginning of Genesis and the end of Revelation, isn't just about the big corporations of heaven and Satan. It's about you and I as individuals. It's that bit where actually God dives in to us and works among us and reveals himself to us. And the ultimate in that, of course, was his Son, Jesus, who was born into an ordinary family to be among us and to bring God to us and to bring the kingdom of God to us. And that's just how much God loves us. And this is what our Bible reading in Ephesians is actually about this morning. It is showing, it is God showing us how we can participate in this newness, despite our corruptness. Is that the right word? Corruptness, corruption, whichever it is. You know what I mean. It's God showing us how we can participate in this newness, despite everything else that surrounds us. And he gives us clear instructions about pushing away the old self and embracing the truth that is in Jesus. Just recap on those verses 20 to 24. It says this: that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And just note what is said about the new self. This new self, it is created. And who is the creator except God? And this new self is created by God to be like God. And it makes me think back to the beginning, to the creation, to those verses that we read there at the beginning of the service, where we were created in God's image and likeness, and God saw that we, alongside the rest of the creation, was good. In fact, he said it was very good. So God is freely giving us this new self, and the means of our connecting to this new self is through Jesus. So the package is there, the direction is there, we have to take it. And doesn't it make so much sense? When you think about things like this, it sort of adds up with other scriptures, it lines up with other scriptures. And what really jumped out at me was it was the sense, the common sense that lays in those words that Jesus said when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." God also speaks this same message to the congregation in Colossae. You may just note there what I said, God also speaks it. You will probably notice that I purposely left out the Apostle Paul. Ordinarily, I would have perhaps said, yeah, Paul preached this message to the people in Colossae, which is quite true. But I left it out purposely because I think it is vital for us to grasp that this word of God is a direct communication between a loving Heavenly Father and us. This Bible that you have open at home, which I hope you do, is that communication between a Heavenly Father and you personally, and you as individuals, and us as a group. In the verse in Colossians that I'm just thinking of is chapter 3, verse 10, and it says, "We have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." And have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, we may have feelings of impatience. We may have a touch of frustration. We may even fear as we look around us and we see people around us who can be described as lovers of themselves. And we see people who are certainly lovers of money and those who are boastful and are proud and abusive, children and young people who are disobedient to their parents. And then we see people who are very ungrateful, unholy, people who are without love, which is awful, unforgiving, and people who are slanderous and without self-control and brutal, those who are not lovers of good. Then there are those who are treacherous, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And there are some who have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And all of these are characteristics that tend to grow in our world society at the moment. And as we look around, we can see them. They seem to be growing in our society. And when we observe this, we think, and we can think, where are you, Jesus? When are you returning? When are you coming back? When is your second coming? And then comes that doubt. Is that picture in Revelation really true? Well, when we ask that question, where are you, Jesus? The answer to that is that it's in the verse in Colossians that we've just read. As you put on your new self, it is renewed as you increase in your knowledge of God. I want you to just think back to that time in Genesis when their relationship with God was one of intimacy, which would increase as they discovered more and more of that wonderful, perfect creation and its creator. And then think about the word renewed in Colossians. It's exactly what it says on the tin. It's renewed, made new again, as you come to understand more of the Creator. And where do you find out about the Creator? In his word, in his communication to you. That's the lifeline. That's the lifeline. God shows us in his word that this is his plan of rescue for those who would believe in his Son. What is there that is really new in this world? That's the question that we asked at the beginning. What is really new in this world? And the answer to that is you. It is you who is renewed each day as you turn your face towards Jesus and you see him sitting on the throne. As you turn your face towards Jesus and read your Bible each day. As you turn your face towards Jesus and think about, what would Jesus want of me? What would Jesus do now? There's a couple of verses in an old hymn that really sums it up, I think. And I'll just read a couple of these two verses. And you probably know this, it's an old hymn. But the first verse goes like this. New every morning is the love our waking and uprising prove. Through sleep and darkness safely brought, restored to life and power and thought. Then the second verse says this, new mercies each returning day surround your people as they pray. New dangers past, new sins forgiven, new thoughts of God, new hopes of heaven. He who is seated on the throne is sending you a personal message, and he says this to you, I am making all things new. These words are trustworthy and true. Amen. Amen.